Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. This week we have taken up the true story of the Israelite people in Egypt, and we have read through chapters 5 through 14 of the book of Exodus, watching for the acts of God, especially in the 10 plagues, and then the people of God crossing the Red Sea, or Sea of Reeds, on dry ground, while the trailing Egyptians were drowned. This sets the context for where we are going today, and that is to this matter of the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And this must be said at the start and remembered throughout. Pharaoh is not an innocent man or a benevolent ruler. He was not doing good to the Israelites before God intervened to harden his heart. The Pharaoh, like all of us, was a sinner through and through. I think of Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God. Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This was certainly true of the Pharaoh. He was brought forth in sin, and in sin did his mother conceive him, as David says in Psalm 51. And we have seen the wickedness of Pharaoh, more than one Pharaoh, haven't we? In Exodus 1, the command was given to murder baby boys born to Hebrew women. A holocaust of abortion. That's evil. Moses would have been one of those boys killed had not providentially Pharaoh's daughter rescued him from the Nile River. Then in Exodus 2, Pharaoh tried to kill the adult Moses. He has murder on his mind and pouring out of his dark heart continually. In Exodus 3, 4, and 5, the Egyptians were taskmasters to the Jews. We covered chapter 5 in which Moses and Aaron ask permission to go a 3 days journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to and worship God. And Pharaoh denies, exclaiming, "Get back to your labors." And so on and so forth. My point is that Pharaoh already has unbelief towards God. He has sin. He has evil deep within his heart. I think of Exodus 5, verse 2, in which Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." God does not have to. Indeed, God does not so fresh evil in his heart, such that Pharaoh will reject God and punish God's people. Pharaoh does that on his own. Capture this. God hardening the heart of Pharaoh does not mean that God made or forced Pharaoh to do evil. Double predestination, this other side of predestination that we have been discussing, is not this. However, it is true that God did not save the Pharaoh either. He did not give Pharaoh the gift of saving faith. True. And God did harden his heart. True, as we will see. So having told you what the hardening of the heart is not, then you are right to ask, what then is the hardening of the heart? Let's answer. And when we do, we have to be very careful how we answer. I say this because it might surprise you to know how many published commentators, those who study and then write on the Bible, get this wrong. There is very often an attempt to say that, yes, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, but that was after Pharaoh hardened his own heart. The order is that Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then God, in response to what Pharaoh has already done, hardens it some more. This makes it seem that God is only responding to Pharaoh. But the Bible says God is not merely responding. More on that in a minute. In reality, and we really need to get this, in reality, it is the other way around. What Pharaoh does is in response to what God does. Pharaoh is the one responding to God. It is not God responding to Pharaoh. God is in charge here, friends, and I want to show you this in the Bible. It was shocking to me in studying these passages, which requires the use of good, biblically sound commentaries, how wrong most of my usually most trusted advisors and teachers were in understanding what is happening in Exodus on this point. But there is one man who gets it absolutely correct, and I am thankful for him and his clear interpretation and teaching. He is John Piper. Perhaps you've heard of him. On this, he is profound, and his study is found in his gigantic volume simply titled Providence. Simple title, complex subject. This book, Providence, is 752 pages on the providence of God. I have not read all of it yet. I make my way through only portions at a time because there is a lot of healthy food here to savor and to properly digest. He defines providence as God's purposeful sovereignty, and he literally goes cover to cover through the Bible, tracing God's acts of providence from Genesis to the Revelation. His heart's desire is that we, the readers, will experience God, will know God, and will worship God with all the more passion because we know that God is providentially and sovereignly ruling our lives. I recommend this to you, but I warn you this will take some work on your part. This ain't our daily bread. This is read a page, highlight much of it, look up and read several corresponding Bible verses, think prayerfully on those, apply to your life, and come back the next day for more. I tell you all of this because I want to acknowledge that we will follow Piper's work and his biblically accurate order here. I am indebted to him, and it is important to me that you know that. Practical note, his book is available on the Kindle and other types of e-readers. That makes it less expensive than the hardcover and, of course, much lighter to carry around with you. This is Providence by John Piper, and I do not get anything for telling you about it other than to hope you will read it and benefit from it as much or more than I and others have. P.S. I do not agree with Piper about everything. Just because I recommend this book does not mean everything the man says on this and other topics is something I agree with. Okay, now, here's what Piper understands. God is the first mover. 19 times in Exodus, reference is made to the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And one time, reference is made to the hardening of the Egyptians' hearts, which likely includes Pharaoh. As Piper correctly notes, hardening is sometimes described as God's hardening, sometimes as Pharaoh's self-hardening, and sometimes with a passive verb that does not specify who is doing the hardening. For example, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And the first references are to what God is doing. Mark down Exodus chapter 4 and verse 21. Exodus 4, verse 21 is the first time we read about the hardening. In Exodus 3 and 4, which again, I wish we had time to read and study, God calls Moses and God commands Moses. Moses puts up several excuses as to why God has the wrong man for the job of leading the Israelites and confronting Pharaoh. But God persists. Moses, you are going to the Pharaoh. After this is settled, Moses sets off for Egypt. And then, in classic God fashion, he says this to Moses, Exodus 4, verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, "When you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." Wait, put yourself in Moses' sandals. God has called to him out of the burning bush. Moses has responded. God has commanded Moses to go and lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. Moses has objected, with some decent reasons, by the way. God will not accept these objections. Excuses. And so Moses says goodbye to his father-in-law, mounts his wife and sons on the donkey, takes hold of his staff, and is on his way to Egypt. And then, after all of that, God adds, "I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." I have a question. Why would God say this to Moses? The text does not tell us how he responds to these specific words of God in verse 21, but I, for one, would like to know. Moses' objective is to get the people out of Egypt. Indeed, God has previously promised Moses the Israelites, and he will leave Egypt. And yet God is going to intentionally harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let God's people go? What? Lord God, what in the world are you up to? Why are you telling your servant Moses this? And why are you telling him now, after all the persuasion he needed, to even go on this journey? Well, let's pick this up again tomorrow, and let's do so because God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.